Welcome to Healing House with Dr. Eileen. Dr. Eileen is an international healer, speaker, teacher, and published author of her latest book, Frequencies. Share the next half hour with us as we journey to find balance of body, mind, and spirit in an unbalanced world. We then invite you to call in or log into our chat and share your thoughts and insights. And now your host, Dr. Eileen.
Well, hello, everyone, and happy, happy Thursday. This is Dr. Eileen with Healing House Radio. And as always, for our listeners down in the L.A. area, the call-in number is 424-258-9337. And for everyone else, including all of those enjoying the beautiful San Francisco, can't wait for the weekend, Bay Area, the guest call-in number is toll-free, 877-697-9725. Also, we have, as usual, being tremendously efficient, producer Kina, who is, while she's fielding calls, she is also opening up the chat room. So if you want to log in, tell her hi, listen into the show. And if you have any questions or comments, you can just type them up, and she will make sure that they get to me. So, as we are able to fully embrace what summer means and all the choices that come therewith, do you go on vacation? Do you hang out with family? Do you go ahead? You know, maybe you've got a job that you can't take off much time during the summer, or maybe you've got a job like a teacher where you can take off quite a bit of time during the summer, and hopefully it's at a point when you can actually enjoy that and not have to, you know, rush into other stuff. As we look at how our world moves around us, how we walk through this life, one of the concepts that has a lot of light and shadow to it is the concept of personal power. So we're going to be talking today about the fact that true power lies within. And it's not anything that can be given to you or taken from you. What you can do is you can give it away. The coolest part of that is that even if you give it away, you can take it back. And it seems like summer is energetically, it's a tremendously powerful time. You know, people are out, there's a lot of sunlight, there's a lot of activity, energy is generally higher. And the idea that, you know, you're interacting with a lot of people who maybe you don't see so much of, you know, during the rest of the year. But summertime is a big time for, you know, getting together on weekends and barbecues and trips to the beach. And when we bring in those personal dynamics of spending a lot of time with people, the little paradigms that kind of come out, you know, where is the balance of power in the relationship? Is there that one person who has a tendency to be the one to decide, well, you know what, guess what, we're all going to do this. And everybody just kind of goes along. Or maybe that person is you. And the, you know, little social group kind of revolves around you. Which is not a bad thing. I mean, it's not bad to be the one to say, all right, guess what, we're going to do this. As long as it doesn't take anybody's power away. As long as everybody's, like, really good with the idea, it's like, oh, yeah, they're going to make the choice, and we're just going to go along with it. The line gets a little bit fuzzy when it's something you don't necessarily want to do. Remember, we're talking about personal power. And when you look at the idea of the concept of having power over versus having power to, which when we talk about power over, the only thing that you truly have power over are your choices, what you choose to do in any particular situation. That's the only thing you've got power over. And, you know, maybe it's like, well, hey, you know, I didn't have a choice. I had to make a particular decision. Well, I understand that, and I know that there are some tremendously difficult choices, and if you can hang in there with me a little bit on this, it's not that you didn't have other choices, but the other choices were so much worse than what you chose. And there's a phrase, the lesser of two evils, or maybe the lesser of several evils. It's the least objectionable, the least painful choice, which may still be painful, but it's just not as painful as others. I had someone who I was speaking with, and they said, well, you know, I have this horrible boss, and I, you know, I'm stuck in the job, so I have no choice. And so I reminded him that it's like, well, you do have a choice. It's just the alternatives are not things that you would choose, you know, to be unemployed, especially, you know, at this time is not a positive choice. And while often it feels like there is no choice, there really is choice. It's just deciding what is the thing that you're trying to avoid most. Now, that has to do with power over. You have no power over anyone else, even if you're the obnoxious boss. You really have no power. You may have power over, you know, the paradigm and the situation of a job, but you do not have power over the person who decides, you know what, forget it, I would rather be unemployed, and they walk out. So even though most people would wisely, you know, not jump into that, because I would never suggest anybody jump into that sort of thing, and you can decide, you know what, I do not like this boss, I do not like this job, so how can I create the momentum for shifting this to something I do like? And it is the idea that when you are taking on, you know, the responsibility of the choices you make, yeah, those choices you have complete power over. Now, when we talk about power two, it is important to realize that the more that we realize that we have power over our choices, the more power we have to do the things we want. It's this weird sort of reversal. If you think that you have power over all these things and everything, you really don't have the power to do much because you're caught up in this illusion about, you know, how much control you have over all these other things. And when you accept, you know what, all I've got to work with, all I can choose is how I want to respond to a particular situation. And it allows you to go into that place of owning your response. Like, you know what, I could choose to get really angry. I could choose to run. I could choose to, you know, to be very serene. I could choose to ignore it. And each one of those choices comes with a price tag and a benefit. So, you know, whatever consequences you're willing to live with, go with that. Because it's important to be authentic and who you are in any given moment. It is so tremendously easy to surrender your power. And I say that because in my life, there have been times when I've done it. And it made it easy. It made it safe. You know, there's light and shadow in everything. When you surrender your power, I suppose the light side would be that it takes away responsibility. It takes away choice. It allows someone else to make all the decisions, and that if that's what you're looking for, if that's honestly where you feel you're at and where you want to be, then Godspeed, because there's lots of people out there who would be very obliging to be that PowerPoint for you. And does that ultimately serve to move you forward? When we allow people to become so important that we surrender ourselves, and as long as you do it knowingly, I mean, that's up to you. And at some point, that person is going to show their humanity. Our, you know, amazing, phenomenal teachers out there. And these folks are so profound and so, you know, on and just seem to be walking and embodying everything that you want to be. You know, whether it's your spiritual life, whether it's, you know, somebody who is just amazingly athletic and you go, oh my gosh, I want to be them when I grow up. And, you know, it really doesn't matter what the person's story is, but they exemplify everything that you want to achieve. And this is very big in the spiritual communities. There are those who are just amazing and phenomenal, and you want to learn from them, and it's like, that's my teacher, and I am going to just drop everything and learn everything I can from them. There is absolutely nothing wrong with that. Like I said, I've done it myself, and I have been truly, truly blessed to have had some amazingly phenomenal teachers in my life. It gets tricky when, as you grow, and this is the true test for a teacher, are they someone who doesn't want you to follow their path, who wants you to find your own? Are they someone who is going to encourage you to question them, to stand up for yourself, and to be proud of you when you do it? Are they someone who wants to keep you sort of, you know, as their personal assistant, or do they make it very clear, look, I am just one stop on the path that you're on, and you're going to reach that point, you're going to move forward and, you know, find your way, and God bless and Godspeed. That's where it shifts from power to working to allow someone to be empowered. People will say, it's like, oh, you're such a powerful person, or you're a powerful practitioner. I prefer the word empowered, because I know that whatever it is that I do, whatever it is that I say, it's something that comes from a deeper connection to everything, to Creator, however you want to describe that. I learn to listen and to be comfortable with what comes in, trust it, and then share it. And I know that what I do doesn't come from me. It comes through me. So for me to, you know, I am not comfortable with being referred to as powerful. I feel empowered. I feel as though I can tap into things that really allow me to be the best healer I can be, the best teacher I can be, the best mother I can be, the best friend I can be. And in most cases, it's not about what I choose to do, it's about what I choose to be. And in most cases, it's just being a good listener to holding that place. Sometimes the quietest people around have this phenomenal ability and the strength. And they don't have to say it. They don't have to share it. When people refer to themselves as, well, I'm very powerful, the first thing I think is, well, why don't you just show me instead of tell me? In many traditions, if someone refers to themselves as a shaman, that is the first sign that they're not one. And the idea behind it is, in a way, a level of arrogance. Now, if you refer to yourself as a shaman, I absolutely mean nothing. This is just in certain traditions. And if you, you know, hold that, and if you step up into that, you know, blessings to you in whatever way you do. The idea is that to always understand that there's a much bigger picture. And for us to play small and to hide from stepping up into that. You don't have to walk around and say, well, I'm powerful, I'm powerful, I'm powerful, when you can just be it. And even if people don't say it, they feel it. They feel secure. They feel safe around you. With a single look, you can have somebody go, oh, okay. And it's not about, you know, bells and whistles and bright lights and showmanship. It's about being your true, authentic self. And realizing that the people who you might figure you want to turn your power over to, they're struggling too. They're trying to work their work to the best way they can. And often, you know, I've spoken to people who will go and study with someone and they'll say, it's like, oh, it was great, it was wonderful. Well, and then they did this, and wow, I was really disappointed, and they really let me down, and, you know, and I'm not even going to do that practice anymore because, you know, of this one person. And I said, okay, so they became human. At what point did they lose that right? Not everybody is on their best days all the time. I mean, we all have those off times. And, yeah, you do your best to walk your talk. You do your best to hold that space in a good way. And when people expect you to not tap into your humanity every once in a while, not your fault, it's their expectations that are unmet. And you don't throw away the whole thing when you can use those times as an opportunity to learn. I make it very clear to the students I teach that all I am is a few chapters ahead. And ultimately, they're going to write their own book. I'm just there to help them as much as I can, guide as much as I can, and then get out of the way. Because then it's their path. And to be able to, you know, hold that in a good way for them. It is really powering to realize that this is just another person who is doing whatever they can do to be in integrity with themselves. And even if it's somebody who's totally not in integrity, they're still doing their best to be in integrity. It's just maybe their best is, you know, means a little more work. We all do the best we can. And often when expectations get built up, when we build stories around what it is that power means or what it is that a person is without taking into account the whole person, which includes the one who can be occasionally a jerk. I know I can be, and I do my best to, you know what, okay, come on, Eileen, rein it in. You know, take a look at it. Who does this belong to? This belongs to me. So by admiring, there's nothing wrong with admiring people, absolutely nothing wrong with when you find somebody who you think can teach you a whole bunch of tremendously cool stuff, you know, go for it. You know, check them out. Be skeptical. I encourage my students to question me as often as humanly possible because that's how not only do they learn, but they realize that I want them to know within themselves. I don't want them to know something because I told it to them. I want them to know it because it's in their heart. By them being empowered, we can both become more powerful because that makes it communal. It makes it a piece where we are all moving up. When one of us moves up, all of us moves up. When one of us gains more balance, all of us gain more balance. You know, no one is by themselves in this. It may feel like it sometimes, but really, we're all in this together. You know, there's stuff that I might know that maybe somebody else doesn't know. But then they've got stuff, you know, it could be somebody who's never done any of this work at all, completely untrained, but there's something that they do intuitively that is absolutely amazing. And I've run across that. And I go, whoa, you know, can you teach me about that? I would love to learn about that. And, you know, they look at me like, oh, my gosh, you want to learn something from me? It's like, absolutely. And in that moment, that person feels empowered. So as we look at, you know, what is our relationship? You know, we've talked about the idea of power with somebody else, but what about your relationship with your own power? And for some people, they're really afraid of it. Some people would rather stay small because they're afraid of what being big means. And what does it mean? Well, that depends on the story they're telling themselves. Maybe in their story it means oh my gosh, I got to go into the spiritual life, and you know, I'm going to be poor, and I'm never going to have a really cool car, and I have to live in a hut, and yeah, all of these things. Or, you know, or people will come to ask me for things, and I may not know, and it's going to be horrible. Or, I mean, there's a lot of different stories on both sides of the issue, in the light side and in the shadow side. And what it comes down to is, what does it mean to you? You don't have to surrender your personal power to somebody just because you love them. It's cool, it's wonderful, you know, being in relationship with somebody, you know, whether it's, you know, husband and wife, whether it's simply lovers, whether it's family, whether it's just deep, deep abiding friendship. You do not have to surrender one single speck of your personal authority and your personal power in order to love someone. And they don't have to do that in order to love you. What it should be about is about supporting one another. Two beings in their own power and having that energy blend. I tell you, when that blending piece is awesome, and it is, it makes each so much bigger. You know, you become greater than the sum of your parts. You know, four individuals can get together, and when they really know how to blend their energy, not one person, you know, all right, everybody's energy has to line up behind mine, and we're going to do what I want. But when people come together as true equals and blend, you can feel it. You can tell it, and there's almost nothing you can't do. Everybody feels, you know, just so much stronger when you support each other. Nobody has to be in charge. When you can all be in that place of balance. So finding the balance point, finding that place within yourself where you can be okay being tremendously empowered. Often I tell people that I am an effective conduit for energy. And the basic way of saying it is I'm a really good tube. And I allow that to move through me, and I access that whether I'm working chiropractically with someone, whether I'm teaching, whether I'm, you know, whether I'm doing anything. No matter what I'm doing, if it involves another person, I'm going to adapt my energy to be able to accommodate them so I can be able to connect and bring out the best person that I possibly can bring, whether that's physically, emotionally, or spiritually. And when we're able to do that with one another, and a part of that is just really accepting the other person in the same way that you would want them to accept you, to be for that other person what you would want them to be for you. And the trick is there's got to be no price tag. Well, I won't say that, but it can't be a price tag that, okay, you know, you have to do this, you have to do that. My statement is very simple. Relationship rule number one, and this was taught to me by a very dear friend of mine, is be nice to me. That's relationship rule number one, because I'm going to be nice to you. I will ask that you be nice to me. Now, if they cannot be nice to me, that's not a problem. It just means that I will not have that level of relationship with them. And you can have different levels of relationship. It doesn't have to be all or nothing. It doesn't have to be either I have to dominate them or they have to dominate me. When you have a relationship where it's equal, and it doesn't mean that, you know, one person doesn't know something that you don't. You don't have to know all the same things, all the equal things. This is about being able to acknowledge, you know what? I don't know much about this, so why don't you take the lead on this? And then maybe the next time, well, I think I know a little bit more about this, so if it's okay, I'm going to take the lead on this. You know what? We're both kind of flying blind here. How about we go find somebody who will be able to assist both of us? Relationships are a lot happier when we can be separate but equal. When we can each be our own unique selves and bring that unique self in. If somebody demands that you be less than they are, you can still choose the relationship. And I would encourage you to think about why it is that you are choosing that relationship. Or if you're in a relationship with someone who you feel you have to direct all the time, I mean, it's okay if that's what you like. And doesn't it get tiring sometimes being the person who always has to make the decision, who always has the responsibility? If the question is, you know, if the answer to that is no, okay, well, have fun. I really like it when I can be around equals. I like it when we can get into, you know, those healthy, rambunctious debates that, you know, we're grinning and, you know, winking and, you know, it's like, all right, yeah, but, aha. And then at the end, we, you know, go and have a nice dinner together and laugh and talk about other things. Reaching a place where you don't need to have anyone have power over you, where you have the power to choose what is it that you want to do in life and how you want to be and what you want to look like and how much you want to weigh and what colors you wear. These are little things, but it's amazing how many people lose out on just little simple decisions based on the comment, you're going to wear that, which can trigger, okay, I'm going back to change, as opposed to, you know what? Yeah, actually I am. I'm making a statement. And that statement is, I'm going to wear this. It doesn't have to be all or nothing. It doesn't have to be somebody winning. It can be a very nice, gentle, sweet process. You know, the power struggle can be harmonious and agreed upon. So don't struggle so much with it. Power is yours by right. Can't be taken. You can give it away, but you can also take it back. Well, I want to thank you all for joining me today. And for those of you who are in the San Francisco Bay Area, this coming Sunday at 10 o'clock, I will be doing a service at the Center for Creative Living. And I will be talking about empathy management and teaching some exercises on how to learn to manage your empathy, which you can. So if you would like more information about that or about me, you can go to my website, which is www.the-healing-house.com, or you can go to meetup.com and look up Healing House Events. So, and also if you have any questions, you could always email me at healinghouseradio@the-healing-house.com. So, I wish you blessings. I wish you a wonderful, amazing week. I wish you balance. And I would say I wish you power, but I don't need to because it's already yours. And you don't have to do anything to earn it. You don't have to do anything to justify it. All you have to be is you. And since you're the only one we've got in the whole wide universe, you should try to enjoy being you. Because there's a lot of people, I'm sure, who are enjoying you. This is Dr. Eileen with Healing House Radio. Take care, everyone.